It's good to be in God's house today. Amen? It's a real blessing to be here. Let's stand this morning, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then once you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, stick your finger there and back up to the book of Exodus chapter 14. We'll just preach both ends of the Bible this morning. I read a story this past week. Somebody sent me an email about this young preacher in Kentucky. And this young man was new in the neighborhood, and they had called him as the new pastor in the community to go out and preach a funeral for a homeless man. And it was going to be in a new graveyard. There was nobody else buried in this graveyard. And so he didn't know really exactly where he was going, but he got in his car and he takes off out into the backwoods of Kentucky and he starts looking for this graveyard. And all of a sudden he looks at his watch and he's late, and he's like any man, he's not going to stop and get directions, you know. So he drives around and looks and searches, and finally he sees this little, looks like about an acre field, and on the back side of it there's a backhoe and there's three guys back there. And he said, "Ah, that must be it." No hearse in sight now, so he pulls up as close as he can, gets out of his car, and walks over to it, and he looks down in it, and there's a concrete vault with a lid already on it. So he says, told the three men that were there, he says, "I'm sorry I'm late. I'm going to get right on with this and let you get on with your job." So he opens his Bible and he begins to take a text to preach the Word of God. And all of a sudden, these guys get excited. They start saying, "Amen. Well, praise the Lord." And that encouraged him. And so he gets started preaching and gets all excited. And he said he preached the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Kept them old boys there for a while, and he preached and preached and preached, and finally he hushed, and he had a prayer, and he told them again, he said, "I'm sorry I'm late, I know you need to get on with your work." So he turns around to start back to his car, and he hears this. One of the guys said to the other, and he says, "You know, I've never seen anything like that in all my life, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 30 years. So we all make mistakes, amen. That's bad news. Now you won't listen to a word I say this morning, will you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now notice verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon who or whom the ends of the world are come." So everything that happened in the Old Testament to the children of Israel and other things that are recorded there were recorded, and God moved on holy men through the Holy Ghost of God that they might be recorded in the Word of God for our examples. So obviously a lot of people will say the Old Testament's not in effect today. Well, the law is not in effect today because it's been replaced by grace. But the Old Testament is our example, and we can get a lot of counsel and a lot of guidance out of the Old Testament. With that in mind, look at Exodus chapter 14. I want to read you four verses of Scripture, probably familiar to most folks that have been in the Word of God very long. But this is a very interesting scripture to me, and I want to share with you some things that I feel like the Lord just revealed to me this week that's going to be needed in this service today. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phihahiroth. I'll get that one out. Between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for each one that's here. I pray, God, that you would have your way in this service, in the remaining part of it. You know the needs that are present this morning. I pray that you would touch every heart. Stir our hearts all together as we look at your blessed word now. And use me, Lord, for your glory and for your praise. Anoint these lips that I might preach that would be pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, if you'd like, in the presence of the Lord. So, everything in the Old Testament is type and shadow of things to come in the New. It's also our examples. So, if I were to have a text this morning, or if I were going to preach on anything and have a subject, that subject would have to be the word trapped. Verse 3 of Exodus chapter 14 says, For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. Now, the word trapped is not in our text, but the emphasis or the idea that that's where they were is there. So, the children of Israel, Pharaoh got it in his mind that they were trapped. And as we sit in this congregation this morning, I'm sure there are some of you that could, even in your own mind at this point, could go quickly to a time or maybe even at this point in your life where you are or you were in a situation where you felt trapped. You felt like there was no way out. You felt like that things were hopeless. I mean, you looked all around you, and you had come to the point in your life where there was no hope. Now, I believe this is where the children of Israel were. I believe there's pastors this morning that are standing behind pulpits in churches all over this nation, and some of those pastors have probably gone as far as they can go. They're probably putting forth their last effort. They're into a ministry or a situation in their life, even in their church, where they feel trapped, and they don't know which way to turn. They don't know what else to do. They don't know what other way to go. I believe there's husbands and wives all over this country. Maybe some of you here this morning that are struggling in a marriage, and you're to the point in that marriage where you have no idea which way to turn. You've tried everything there is to try. You've gone every direction there is to go. You've attempted everything there is to attempt, and it seems like nothing's working, and you're trapped. You feel trapped in that situation. I feel like that there are people that come to church every time the doors are open, and they come to church wearing a mask. They put on the best clothes they got, and they put on the best mask that they got, and they come looking like everything's all right. But down in their heart of heart, and down in their spirit, and down in their soul, they are trapped. They're hopeless. They don't know which way to turn. And they're crying out, God, somebody help me. I don't know what to do here. And I believe that's where the children of Israel were. There are people like that all over this nation today. And they're in some kind of a trap. So there are wives, folks, that are so physically worn out in their marriage, and that fatigue that's in their body is affecting everything that they do. I mean, they're to that point where they're just in a trap. And usually what happens when they get into that situation is sooner or later, they do something desperate to try to get out of that trap. There's children in broken homes. There's children this morning, I'm sure, where parents are just announcing that they're getting divorced and they're splitting up, and the home's been broken, and children even feel like they're trapped. There's church members that go to church and they feel like they're trapped every time that they go. I believe there's parents dealing with disobedient children in that same trap. They feel trapped. They don't have anywhere to turn. They don't have any way out. They don't have any answer. Now, sometimes we're trapped by the enemy because he will lay a trap for us. And if we're not aware of his devices, the Bible teaches us that we need to be aware of his devices, because if we're not, we can walk into him. A trap that he has laid for us with our eyes wide shut. You ever heard that before? But more often than not, we trap ourselves. We make decisions and we go in directions, and the Holy Spirit all the time and all the while prodding us not to do what we're doing, and we do it anyway, and we end up in a trap. We end up feeling trapped. We end up with no place to turn. But then there are other times, I believe, that the Lord leads us into a trap. And if you and I follow Him and trust Him, and we have confidence in what God's doing in our life, then we will follow Him and God will lead us into a trap in order to win a victory over our enemy. Now, I believe this is what happened to Israel. God went down to Egypt, sent Moses down there to deliver his nation. And Moses was obedient, and we know the story of how Pharaoh would give them permission to leave and then rescind that order and change his mind over and over, and he finally let them go. I do not believe for a minute God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to bring them in the wilderness to die. And you and I know the story, and he didn't do that. But they sort of felt that way, didn't they? I mean, they came to the Red Sea. They came out of the wilderness. And the word came that Pharaoh and his army was pursuing them. Now, the Bible said that in the scripture that I just read you, that God told them where to camp. God told them what to do. And they did what God told them to do. So they were in the wilderness. They were facing the Red Sea on one side. Pharaoh's army was coming up behind them on the other. There was mountains on either side. I would have felt a little trapped myself. They were into a trap, but notice that God led them into that trap. So if you're trusting God and allowing God to lead you, even when you're in a trap, you need not feel desperate, because the God that brought you into the trap is going to bring you out of the trap. How many of you know that? So that's what it's all about. Now look at verses 8 and 9 of the scripture. Because the Bible said, this is Exodus 14, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, or the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them while they were what? Camping where who told them to camp? God. God told them where to camp. Pharaoh showed up. But God's hand is in this. God led them into this trap. But the trap wasn't really for them, although they began to think it was. They began to think that God had led them into a trap, but actually the trap was for Pharaoh and his army, and God had moved them in as bait. Amen. God will move you in sometimes as bait just to draw the enemy out. Did you know that? Gets pretty interesting. So their reaction, the reaction of the children of Israel, is, "Oh God, we're trapped." The Egyptians are behind us. The water's before us. We don't have a boat. We don't have a two-by-four. We don't have a canoe. We don't have nothing to get across that sea with. There's mountains on either. We're trapped. How many of you know that we have that same reaction a lot of times? When God's actually doing something in our life, we get that feeling. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. We're trapped. You know what their first reaction was? Let's go back to Egypt and serve Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Let's just stay in slavery. It's better than this. How many of you know that there are many a person in the world today that one time was on fire for God, but got into some situation they thought was a trap, and their reaction and their decision to do what they did was, I'd be better off in the world than I am here. I'm in a trap. I have no way to turn. I have no way to go. I'll just backslide. I'll go back to doing what I was doing. God don't love me anyway. God don't care about me anyway. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You read the word. So their reaction was a whole lot like ours would be. But notice verse 13. I like this. And this is what I want to get to this morning. Moses, the Bible said, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And for the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now I find in this verse of Scripture a formula from God for victory. I believe that that formula that God gave the children of Israel there on the edge of the Red Sea will work for you and I today. You say, well, preacher, what is that formula? The first part of that formula is very simple. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. So the first part of the formula is don't allow fear to creep into your life and into your circumstances. If you believe that you are a child of God, if you believe that God loves you and cares for you, if you believe God is guiding your life and in control of your life, and you have submitted your life to Him, I don't care what the circumstances are, why would you be afraid? If God is in control and you trust Him and He loves you and He saved you, why would you worry about it? If God leads you into a situation where He even is going to expose the enemy in your life and cast him out and get rid of it, Moses said, fear not. How many of you know the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind and love. Folk, the spirit of fear comes from another source. Moses said, don't be afraid, don't fear, don't worry. God's in control. God has delivered us out of the hand of the Egyptians, brought us out of the Egyptian nation, and He's brought us thus far. How many of you know this morning God has brought us this far? If He doesn't take us another step, He's still faithful, but God's going to take us all the way, even to the end. So the first part of the formula is fear not. I want you to know this morning, when fear replaces faith, it's impossible for you to please God. You hear what I'm saying? When fear replaces faith, it's impossible for you to please God. That's the way the enemy works, because he wants you, when you're walking in faith and you're trusting in faith and you're believing God is leading your life, or God has healed you, or God is going to supply your need. If the devil can get fear into you and that spirit of fear takes over, faith leaves. Faith's out the window, honey. Because then you start operating in fear. And that's where the children of Israel were. I mean, they had come out of Egypt, but now they're camped by the Red Sea. Pharaoh's on their tail, and they look up and see this mighty army coming, and fear just jumped all over them. Doesn't it do the same thing to us sometimes? Fear causes us to react and to make bad judgments. How many of you realize that? That's why it's so important, it's so imperative that you and I know the Word of God so that we can stand on the Word of God. Because when we have the promises of God in our heart, then it's hard for fear to take over our life. But if we cannot hold on or we do not know the promises of God concerning our life, then we will allow the spirit of fear to take over. Now the second counsel in this little formula that God gave Moses here, first one was fear not. The second one was stand still. How many of you have ever seen a scared rabbit or a scared squirrel? How many of you have ever been driving down the road and a squirrel start out across the road? And all of a sudden he realizes there's this big machine coming at him. It's a lot bigger than he. That's the way we react. We suddenly realize the enemy is on our tail. We look up and the sea's in front of us. And we're going in every direction. God said, stand still. Let me hold you still. Don't react like a squirrel. Don't react like a rabbit. Most animals who end up in fear and fear takes over them when they're running, they run into more trouble than they ran away from. How many of you know that? We do the same thing. So what God is saying through Moses in this formula is, first of all, it may look like you're going down. It may look like you're sinking. It may look like all hope is lost. This is it. Pharaoh's going to win. But God said, fear not. Stand still. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. Quit trying to come up with some solution that you can present to God that maybe He will accept for your life and get you out of this mess. Just stand still. One of the hardest things for us to do as human beings is wait upon the Lord. Did you know that? We live in a microwave society. We want everything in 30 seconds or less. We want it hot. We want it sweet. We want it tasting good. And if it takes a whole minute to heat it up, we kind of lose interest in it. But God's not that way, folks. God says just stop being fearful and stand still and wait upon the Lord. We want to go back. We want to go for, we try to figure out some way to go. But when you can't go back, when you can't go forward, when you can't go to the right and you can't go to the left, you're trapped. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still and wait upon the Lord. So if I put that in today's vernacular, you'd understand it, right? Chill out and stop trying to do it yourself. Does that make more sense? Just stand still. Third part of this formula after fear not and stand still is see. Look at verses 14 and 15, Exodus chapter 14. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your... That's another thing we have a problem with, keeping our mouths shut sometimes. How many of you know what you confess you possess? If you confess fear, if you confess defeat, then those things are in your possession. So stand still and keep your mouth shut. Just say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't know how I got into this mess. I don't know how you're going to get me out, but it's up to you to get me out, because if you don't get me out, I'm going down. Fear not. Stand still and see. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But wait a minute, there's a sea out there. Water, deep water. We don't have a boat. We don't have a canoe. We don't even have an old rotten log to float across. Lord, there's a sea out there. If you're trusting God, You have to trust God listening to that still, small voice. You need to know one thing this morning, and this is the point of this whole message. You need to understand that God's release for your deliverance comes at the point when you let it go. Let me repeat that. God's release for your deliverance comes at the point when you let it go. Until you let it go, as long as you hold on to it, as long as you're trying to reason it out and figure it out and try to bring a solution to your own problem, God can't help. God's release for your deliverance will come at the point when you turn it loose and say, God, whatever happens, happens. I'm putting this in your hands. I'm trusting you with it. You've brought me thus far, and I'm trusting you the rest of the way. And when you do that, God's going to step in and take over. That's why he said, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. We have to learn to quit trying to accomplish things within ourselves and let God do it. Now let me say this, and I'll make it very brief. We at Harvest Time have been made some glorious promises by God, and I have grasped those promises. I am holding those promises this morning. It may look like the Red Sea's in front of us, and there's a mountain on both sides, and the devil's coming up behind. It's all right with me. I'm going to be here when the devil leaves. Amen? I hope you are, because I'm trusting God. God has a plan for this church and this ministry. And brother, I'm going to be here to see it through. We need a breakthrough. I know God, the devil has set a trap for us. And God has allowed us to walk right slap up against a brick wall. But let me tell you what he's about to do. He's about to bring victory. Amen. The Bible said that when the children of Israel started going forward, God caused a great east wind to blow, separated the Red Sea, and it blowed all night and dried the ground out in the bottom. And the children of Israel, the Bible said, walked across on dry ground. Now, folks, this wasn't 15, 20 people. This was over 2 million people. It took a while to get that big a crowd across that ocean. Or that sea. Had to be a pretty wide path for them to trod abreast of each other just to get across. But the Bible farther said that Pharaoh thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. And he and his army just jumped right in and pursued after them. And we all know the story. The sea just fell back in on them and drowned them. Pharaoh and his army destroyed forever. I'm telling you this morning that it doesn't matter how long you've been fighting, how long you've been in this trap, how long the trap feels like it's been around you, how desperate it is, how hopeless it appears, God is on the scene. We're about to get breakthrough. Amen? There was a man that I read about who first launched his chain of stores called the Golden Rule in 1907. I'll tell you about this man. In 1910, his first wife passed away. He married again, and in 1923, his second wife died, giving birth to his son. 1929, the stock market crashed. He lost $40 million. By 1932, he had to sell everything that he owned to satisfy creditors. This left this man virtually broke, crushed in spirit from his loss, and his health suddenly failing him. He wound up in Battle Creek, Michigan, in a sanitarium. One morning, he heard in the distance some employees of that sanitarium singing a song. They gathered to start the day, and they were having a little devotion before they started. And the song that they were singing is be not dismayed. God will take care of you. He followed the music to its source and slipped into the back row. Sat down. This man left a short time later from that little service, a changed man. His health and his spirit renewed, ready to start the long climb back at the age of 56 years old. By 1951, there was a JCPenney store in every state in the Union. True story. True story. God will take care of you. If God loves you and He cares for you and He brought you this far, He's not going to desert you now. That song says, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, Him, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Learn, lean, leery one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Trapped. Trapped. When it looks like life is hopeless, when it looks like it's not going to work out, stand still. Fear not. See the salvation of the Lord. God can bring you out of the trap. God can bring you to victory when nobody else can. When there appears to be no answer and no hope, God will take care of you. Sister Bird, if you will, I want you to come to the piano. As she comes and plays softly, I'd like you to stand to your feet for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning. I have preached to you because you feel like you're in a trap. You feel like your life has gone awry and you're not. You just don't know where to go and what to do next. And it seemed like everything that you've tried has failed. And it will. But I'm here to tell you today that if you'll fear not, stand still, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Because God will take care of you. If you're here this morning and you need to pray or you need somebody to pray with you, why don't you just take off that mask you're wearing and throw it down. Come and let's pray together. Join together in prayer for your situation that you can stand and see the salvation of the Lord. While she plays one verse of this song, if God is speaking to your heart now, you slip out of your seat and come. Right now.